Scripture reading this morning comes from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 2 and 3. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 2 and 3. And I am reading from the New American Standard, and it reads, "Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness, Israel, when it went to find its rest. The Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness."
Psalms 23, verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." In the parable of the good shepherd in John 10, verse 28, Jesus said, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." And Paul in Romans 8, he expands on the everlasting love of God. Verses 35 through 38. Paul writes, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present or things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ our Lord Jesus." It is these words that prompted George Matheson to write the words that we sang just a little bit earlier. O love that will not let me go. He was born in the 19th century in Scotland. He was a brilliant student of theology at the University of Glasgow. It is there that he earned his doctorate degree, or his graduate degree. While he was in school, he fell in love and became engaged. But during that time, his eyesight started to fail, and by the time he was 20, he was left completely blind. His fiancée broke off the engagement because she said she was not cut out to be the wife of a blind man. He was devastated, and because of that pain of abandonment, he never married. And yet he became a highly successful preacher. You know, many have endured those kind of blows, and many abandoned their faith thinking that they have dedicated their lives to God, and yet he allowed this to happen to them. But Matheson, he knew better. Even though his beloved fiancée left him, he knew that God would not. And out of his pain, he wrote the ringing affirmation of the love of God. O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths it flows, may richer, fuller be. Even though this man was physically blind, his spiritual vision was 20/20. Isaiah 40 and verse 31 reads that they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. Suffering is inevitable, and it comes to everybody. But only those who live by faith in God and in the certainty of his love will never let it go. They are able to accept with confidence and assurance both the trouble of the present and the troubles that can come tomorrow. The theologian John R.W. Stott, he wrote, "Christian people are not guaranteed immunity to temptation, tribulation, or tragedy, but we are promised victory over them. God's pledge is not that suffering will never affect us, but that it will never separate us from His love." You know, I've read Romans 8, verses 35 through 37 a lot of times, or 38 through 39. And it wasn't until I started working on this lesson that the full impact of it hit. These words are powerful, and they're very encouraging. And it seems as if Paul is challenging the limits of his vocabulary in order to show us that there is not a single threat, regardless of how imposing that threat may be, that is greater than the love of God is toward us. And in these verses, he gives us five pairs of contrasting forces, the forces that challenge us on a daily basis. But the whole basic idea is that we can go from one end of the spectrum to the other, and we will still never be able to go beyond the scope of God's love. And I want to break these verses down. First, God's love goes beyond death and beyond life. None of us can imagine any greater natural wall of separation than death. To us, death is absolute. It is uncompromising. It forces us to grieve. It forces us to make an emotional adjustment of never being able to see that person again in this life. What we must know as God's children is that death does not separate us from the presence of God. Listen to these scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8. "Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and be at home with the Lord." Philippians 1, verses 21 through 25. "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to part and to be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know I will remain and continue with you for your progress and joy in faith." Hebrews 2 and verses 14 and 15, the writer explains how Jesus ended Satan's power over death. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 10, Jesus says that Jesus abolished death, that he brought light and immortality to light. And one of my favorites, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" What these scriptures teach is that instead of death tearing us away from God, it ushers us closer to the fuller glory of His presence. But if death cannot separate us from God, what about life? Life is tough. We endure crisis after crisis. We grieve. We get depressed. And pain happens. Every single time I have a physical, one of the first questions my doctor asks me is, are you depressed? I'm like, what question is that? And then she says, and then I kind of give her that look and she says, do you get depressed? And I kind of give her another look and then my answer is, who doesn't? Who doesn't? Sometimes some folks think that life's fate is worse than death. But we must know that whatever life throws at us, God still loves us. Secondly, neither angels nor demons can separate us from the love of God. You know, in this world, we contend with more than just the evils that can be inflicted by nature or accidents or mean people. Sickness, disease. Paul tells us that we have even greater enemies than that. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of wickedness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the air. There are two worlds in the universe. The one we see, the natural world around us, and the one that we don't see, that's the spiritual world. And the spiritual world is made up of all kinds of beings. One side is righteous, the other side is evil. We're caught between the two. They contend for our faith and allegiance. The righteous are the angels. The evil are the demons. It's not clear how God's angels might hurt us, but it is clear that Satan's demonic hosts wish to bring us harm. But Paul's point here is that there is no power sufficient to break the hold on God's love for us. Thirdly, neither things present nor things to come can destroy God's love. Since the beginning of man, every generation has had some kind of present disaster threatened. The last century, they dealt with World War I, World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War. They dealt with the Spanish flu, with polio. What do we face today? We had the war in Afghanistan, the war in Iraq. We have the terrorist threats, disease, the financial issues. The short of it is this: whether it is cosmic, whether it is national or personal, calamities will always be there. We have and do ask, is the love of God still with us through it all? And the answer is absolutely yes. The fourth. Neither height nor depth can separate us from His love. Paul uses a term to describe the scope of God's love. Whether we travel millions of light years into space, or whether we go into the very depths of the earth, we can never reach the limits of God's love. It was this that David reasoned in Psalm 139, that there is no place that he could go to get beyond God's love. If he was to get up early, if he was to hide in the dark of night, God's love was still there. If he was to go to the far corners of the world or to the deepest of seas, God's love is there. You see, God's love fills all of heaven and all of earth. Fifth, no powers or created things can remove us from the love of God. Paul ends this list. Things that can't stop God with a catch-all. All creation. Nothing in all creation can separate us from God's love. It's easy for us to believe that God loves us when everything is going well. But when the trials and the tribulations happen, sometimes we think that if he really, truly loves us, that he would not allow these things to happen. I'm sure those folks who endured the tornadoes in Kentucky last month thought this. I'm sure that those people who survived through the fires in Philadelphia this past week felt this. The truth of the matter is that even when things are going badly, God's love is still there. God is always with us in our pain and in our suffering. Always. We know his presence intellectually because the Bible tells us. What we must work on is knowing this emotionally. It's a true story of two people. Two people who went through almost the same ugly experience. One believed in our subject this morning, and the other did not. And the outcome was totally opposite. Eli Weissel, he was a Romanian. He won a Nobel Peace Prize. And he was no stranger to suffering. He endured 3 German prison camps. During World War II, before he was liberated in 1945. He and his father were sent to the first camp while the rest of the family was murdered in the gas chambers. Eli watched his father deteriorate until his father was beaten to death by the prison guards. He writes, "Never shall I forget that night. Never shall I forget the smoke. Never shall I forget the faces of the little children whose bodies were turned into a wreath of smoke. Never shall I forget the flames that consumed my faith in God forever. Never will I forget the silence that deprived me for all eternity of the desire to live any longer. Never shall I forget those moments which murdered my God, my faith, my soul, and turned my dreams to dust. Never shall I forget these things, even if I am condemned to live as long as God himself. Never." See, Eli lost his faith in God. The second person that a lot of our children know because they read of her in school, Carrie Ten Boom. Carrie Ten Boom lived through the same horrible events, plus a lot more. But it was different for her. You see, for her and her sister Betsy, when they thought that they couldn't take it anymore, they would read Romans chapter 8. They would read, "Who shall separate us from the love of God?" It was these words that would give them strength and encouragement. And it carried them through the horrors one day at a time. Eli lost his faith forever. But Corey and Betsy found strength and encouragement that carried them through the horrors one day at a time. We, as human beings, try to live a week, a month, a year away, when all we really need to do is have God with us one day at a time. Maybe that's why, instead of God giving us eternity, He gave us the sun and the moon for seasons. That He gave us a day and a night so that we only have to live through one of them at a time. We have no idea what tomorrow will bring. But the one thing we can be confident in is that God's love is with us today, and it will still be with us tomorrow, regardless of what tomorrow brings. Will life destroy our faith, or will we allow the love of God to strengthen us and encourage us when life gets hard? If you have not dedicated your life to God, if you have not obeyed the gospel, here is a truth. God still loves you. He will always love you. Till the day you die, He will always love you. Which is why He gives us this life, to prepare for the next. And the opportunity this morning is before you. Allow the love of God to continue, even when we lay in our graves and wait for that great day. That love will never go away. God's love for man is forever. Be a part of that through repentance and confession and baptism, and then committing yourselves to living a faithful life. Not a perfect life, but a faithful life. You will enjoy the love of God forever and ever. Maybe you are a child of God, but maybe your faith has been rattled. Maybe it's been kicked back a notch. God still loves you. He still wants a relationship with you. And you can repair that relationship through repentance by asking for God's forgiveness. The blood of Christ will cover it. If there's anyone that has a need this morning, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.